Good morning. The Committee on State Government, Innovation, and Veterans will be in order. Today is Friday, March 16th, 2012. Welcome all. First item on the agenda is Senate File 2313, Senator Hand, Unified Personal Health Premium Account Authorization and Marketplace Website Task Force Creation. Now, this bill was re-referred to us from the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection. Welcome, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. This is a bill that we believe is a important and, frankly, we think needed piece of legislation that will help our insurance markets improve. The intent of the bill is to make sure that people in Minnesota have better access to affordable health insurance and that health insurance can be more portable than it is today. I know that the committee's jurisdiction is limited.
That's exactly where I was going. Thank you. So before you say it, I would like to have counsel, Ms. James, take us to where in the bill we are going to be focused on with this committee. Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, this bill creates a task force in Section 6, which is on page 4, beginning at line 17 and going through page 5, line 18.
And page, am I not seeing the, you said page 6?
No, I'm sorry. No. Mr. Chair, members, section 6, starting on page 4, line 17.
Okay. All right. The before we go, and I think most of the members here know my angst for never wanting to put together a task force. However, the mere sake that this one does have a sunset attached to it, I feel much better about that. So with that little editorial, Senator Hand, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I am hesitant to get into a full description of how this bill works, and if you would like us to do that, I'd be happy to do it. Suffice it to say, it is a first of all, there is no fiscal cost. This does not spend any money, any state money, any federal money. It is actually trying to do some things that are, for the most part, currently allowable under insurance law and trying to find a way to make those things perhaps a little easier to do by clarifying in the law what is possible and giving a pathway to get it done. Basically, we're creating an instrument that allows the combination of contributions from various sources to be pooled into a trust account to be used to purchase insurance premiums. The section of the bill that is the jurisdiction of this committee is, in, as was pointed out, Section 6 of the bill that creates a health insurance marketplace website task force. The reason for this, the reason why we've done this, is that there's been a lot of debate around insurance reform, healthcare reform. There's been a federal law that is out there somewhere that I don't know if anybody truly understands it, but there's been a lot of discussion about this issue. And it is a matter of fact that there are a lot of opportunities today for people, individuals, and businesses to purchase insurance and do comparative analysis of insurance policies on the internet, on the website. And so part of the thing that has been heard is that we need to create this thing. We need to create something that, in fact, already exists. And that is the point. And so the reason for this particular task force is to establish, and its mechanism is simply that we're asking the leadership of the House and the Senate to select some members of a task force from a pool of nominees that are provided by various organizations trying to represent the array of folks that might have an interest in this. Well, and everybody has an interest in it, but people from, for example, the insurance plans, the Chamber of Commerce representing small and large businesses, non-hospital providers, hospital associations. So various organizations would suggest people, and then the leaders of the legislature would choose from among those folks to create a website, a website task force. And those duties are specified on page 5 of the bill, subdivision 4. This task force will identify existing internet-based tools for purchasing health insurance, evaluate their utility in aiding individuals and businesses in purchasing health insurance, develop recommendations if necessary, and I, for one, don't know that there will be. I don't believe there is any. But if necessary, to broaden or enhance the capacity of these tools. And fourth, report to the legislature their recommendations specifying what, if any, state action is needed to implement them. Now, I believe, without prejudging the work of the task force, that the task force will conclude that there are lots of things available and there is nothing that we need to do to make this do anything to create anything in addition. So the real purpose of this task force is to help the public to understand what is currently available and to ask the question, is it necessary to have state or federal action to do anything more when we already have things that are occurring right now in the marketplace? So expiration, the sunset, would be as soon as they have made their recommendations to the legislature the day following the submission of that report, their task force would be disbanded, and the legislature would then be free to act on whatever information they may have provided. That is what it does. There is no cost. This task force is not taking any federal or state dollars to do its work. It is being done by volunteer citizens who represent various components of the marketplace today. And that is the intent and what that section of the bill does.
Thank you very much. I want to find out who might be here to testify for or against. Okay, I see one hand. There's two, three. All right. Senator Hayden, do you want to ask first or hear testimony first? Or what?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to ask first, and then I'll really listening to the testimony. So, Mr. Chair and Senator Hand, I see that you have a bill here that has key components of what we would call an exchange, a healthcare exchange. And so there is a lot of the components that are in this bill is what we need to be able to have and comply with the federal law, the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. And so with that being said, you're the chair of the health committee, and I sit on the health committee. I kind of sometimes is in and out, maybe a little late every once in a while, Mr. Chair. And so I'm wondering, Senator Hand, has this bill been heard in your committee, the health care committee?
Before we move on, I would like the record to show that we do have a quorum. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Hayden, I'm not sure what portions of the bill that you're referring to that would be related to the federal law. This is an insurance bill. It was heard in the Commerce Committee because the provisions of the bill affect nothing in the Health Department or the Human Services Department or the laws thereof, with one exception, I guess. There is a request that the payments from the Healthy Minnesota Contribution Plan be contribute to these trust accounts, assuming that they would come into existence. So this was heard in insurance, in the Insurance or the Commerce Committee, because of the provisions of the bill are directed toward those parts of the law. Maybe if you want to point out to me where the provisions of the bill that you think ought to be in the Health and Human Services Committee, I don't see any. I don't see that it has any relation to anything that the federal law may require. So, as I said, there's no finance cost to it. It is simply dealing with insurance law.
So, Mr. Chair,
Senator Hand,
so we are talking about health insurance. You just said that we talked about the healthy contribution. We deal with health insurance, and in your committee, we have there are components of your bill that are key components of the ACA. I can go over those: establishment and mechanism for individuals to purchase health coverage and receive federal subsidies, tax credits, tax credits available to certain individuals under the ACA. Specify who may serve as navigators and establish a system of navigators to connect individuals. That's part of the ACA. Certify qualified health plans, et cetera. So I guess my question, Senator Hand, and I won't take up too much of your time, Mr. Chair, and I know that you want to stay into the specific issue, but this is an issue that is a really big issue. This is an issue about health insurance and the way that we deliver health insurance in Minnesota. And so with all due respect, it does have pieces of the commerce. That is where insurance, it has a piece here that I think rightfully so is in this committee. But there also is just a big component of this, Senator Hand. It's under your jurisdiction in your committee, and you're the chair of the Health Committee, and we've had this conversation publicly, and I don't know why this wouldn't have been vetted through the Health Committee, the Health and Human Service Committee that you're the chair of. And so, you know, here we are today. You know, I don't think that me making a motion to re-refer would pass, and I'm not going to kind of take up the committees and people's time with that. But, Senator Hand, I really wish that we wouldn't circumvent the process and allow these bills to travel in their natural pathway.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And with respect to Senator Hayden's point, none of the things that he's mentioned are addressed in this bill. There's nothing about navigators. There's nothing about federal law. There's nothing about the ACA. Nothing in this bill makes any reference to or related to any of the things that Senator Hayden mentioned. Now, if Senator Hayden wishes, and presuming we have time, we could certainly bring this bill back to the Health and Human Services Committee for an informational hearing sometime after we've already passed it. I'm happy to do that if he would like to have further testimony on it. But all the things that he has mentioned are not in this bill. And so, Mr. Chairman, this was given a thorough vetting in the Commerce Committee, talking about the various insurance mechanisms that this bill entails. It is, again, not spending any money, state or federal, because it is simply dealing with a legal structure, creating a mechanism by which the private marketplace can work and provide better access and opportunities for individuals and businesses to purchase insurance.
All right, thank you. Our first testifier, I believe the first name I have is Peter Nelson from the American Experiment. Mr. Nelson, is your testimony specifically geared towards the creation of this advisory committee?
I will gear it towards that.
Please do, because I'm looking at your printout here, and I think you go way, way into the weeds, and I wouldn't allow that with that. So please state your name and proceed.
My name is Peter Nelson. I'm the Director of Public Policy for Center of the American Experiment, and I want to speak today in support of this bill and support of the provision that's before you today. And I want to first off say one point about this bill, and Senator Hand is right that this bill is not related to the ACA. This bill addresses an issue that will be in existence after the ACA is implemented, if it is truly implemented. It addresses an issue that is there with or without the ACA, and we believe it's a solution that adds more choices to the insurance marketplace. Now, as it regards the task force that's being set up, there's a clearly limited information out there amongst the public about the market, the ways in the marketplace that exist to access insurance. And there are online mechanisms out there, and to the extent they're out there, we believe this is a way to dig in to decide to figure out what exactly is out there for the public. And there's reasons why the public doesn't know about all of this stuff, because the truth of the matter is very few people in the public actually shop for health insurance. There's only about 5% of the people in the insurance marketplace that shop for an individual market policy, which is what this bill intends to promote. And with only 5% of the marketplace shopping for insurance, it's totally understandable that there's some misconceptions out there. Most of us get our insurance through our employers. And when you get your insurance through your employer makes your choice for you. And we think that this is a good provision out there to start raising public awareness about what's out there that works for consumers.
All right, thank you. Questions? Next testifier, I believe I saw Ms. Braes here. And then the other lady over on this side, do you want to just come up to the table and then you can sign in? Don't forget to sign in, please.
Morning.
Nelson, you can grab that quick and sign in. Please state your name and you may proceed. And again, I caution us to stay on our jurisdiction here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Twyla Braes. I'm president of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And as Senator Hand knows, we haven't had any problem with the rest of the bill, only with Section 6, which is what is under your jurisdiction right now, the creation of the task force. We have been steadfastly in opposition to the imposition of the Obama administration's government health insurance exchange. The exchange is considered the heart of health care reform. It's the long hand of the federal government coming through a state, through a web portal to a state, into a state through a web portal. And the latest regulations, which just came out, are 644 pages long with 1,004 uses of the word must. And those are the exchange regulations. We do not want to give our governor any legislative authority, explicit or implicit, to implement the government exchange that he is creating now without your legislative authority. Senator Hahn and I have discussed this at length, and I understand that he does not intend the language to create an exchange or to authorize an exchange. Nevertheless, we are looking at the words within the language. The language says that the government establishes a task force to study how to advance internet purchasing of health insurance. The exchange is an internet web portal. So there are private exchanges already, as has been said, and the chamber and all the private sector parties that are listed in this bill could do this study on their own and make a report to the legislature if they so choose, without the state requiring it. We know, as you probably do, that studies are all about pushing policies, and this is the state mandating this study. Thus, we oppose giving the proponents of a government exchange any ammunition to push their agenda. Again, we understand Senator Hahn's intent, but this is the government mandating a task force to move the state toward a state government portal for buying health insurance. The Supreme Court has yet to rule on federal reform, but even and when it does, Minnesota should not move toward a government insurance exchange. We should let the private sector figure out private sector options all by themselves. Mandating them to make recommendations to the state for internet purchasing puts the government's foot in the door where we do not want to go. Thus, we are asking for Section 6 to be deleted. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Braze is correct. We have had discussions about this, and I certainly don't disagree with her desire to not do anything to implement or facilitate the federal law that I and many others believe is, first of all, not constitutional, but also not necessary, and in addition to which, very costly and burdensome and all kinds of other bad adjectives. However, there is nothing in this bill that does any of those things. There is nothing in this bill that creates or spends any mechanism to spend any money. There is no legislative authority given in this bill for the governor or anybody else to do anything. All this does is, as I said, create a task force that legislatures do all the time to ask for advice, and we're seeking specifically advice from private sector parties to help the public and the legislature, which I believe, as Peter Nelson testified earlier, it is not broadly understood what exists already in the marketplace. And we think that's an important discussion and an important debate that needs to be had, because it is so commonly assumed that we have to have the federal government come in to provide something that doesn't exist. And our point is that that thing does exist, and it may need some assistance in terms of trying to make sure that people are aware of it, and there may need some assistance in our laws to facilitate insurance purchasing in ways that are currently not as easy to do. That's what this bill does. So with all respect, I think the characterization that Ms. Braze is making of this as a way to open the door to implement the federal law, I would just ask members or anyone to point to the part of the law or the bill that we're proposing that does any of those things that she is, and I believe rightfully, concerned about, because I share those concerns. There's nothing that authorizes anything except the creation of a task force to bring recommendations to the legislature designed broadly to make sure that people understand what is available and to suggest, if anything is needed, what else might be done. And then that task force expires upon conclusion of that report. No money is spent. No institutions are created. No authority given to the legislature, the government, any department in the state or the federal or any place else to do anything. So to characterize this as opening the door and facilitating the federal law, I think, is false and wrong.
All right. Ms. Braze?
Yes. Mr. Chair and Senator Hahn and committee members, our point is that this is the government requiring something. And we know that there is industry out there who would like nothing more than for the government to set up the exchange. And some of those industry players are on that task force. There's no reason why they cannot do it on their own and present it to you like many, many studies are presented to you. But this is the imprimatur, as it were, of the government saying, go and figure out recommendations for the state about internet purchasing. So the private sector has always done what the private sector has done. There is no need for the government to do this and make it seem like you, the legislature, want the private sector to actually move in this direction. So this is our concern. The Supreme Court is going to rule in June. We do not want any legislation whatsoever moving in this direction.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just want to remind members of the committee that our governor has already acquired and has spent something on the order of $30 million that was acquired from the federal government. He has created a task force that he himself appointed from members of the private sector as well as members of the government and other nonprofit and organizations. Those meetings are being held. They are making recommendations, I assume within the Department of Commerce, that are completely secret, have never been revealed. They have hired 10 people that they're paying over $1 million a year to do duties that are not specified. In our committee, we asked Commissioner Rothman, who's the commissioner of the Commerce Committee or Commerce Department, to come and tell us what this task force the governor has created is doing, and he refused to answer. And we asked him specifically, well, what is even the direction? What are the things you're trying to comply with in the federal law? He couldn't answer those things. My point is that all the things that are being described by Ms. Braze in her testimony are being done right now by the governor in secret and spending millions of public dollars to do it. And all we're saying is we're asking for private individuals at no cost to anybody except their own time and their willingness to donate it to make recommendations to the legislature about what exists in the marketplace for people to buy insurance and then to go away. Now, if Ms. Braze thinks that what we have in this bill is a threat, then what does she think about what the governor is doing? And my question is, do you think it's a threat? Because I think that whatever we do in this legislature is not going to be able to prevent the governor from having his task force or doing his recommendations or hiring the people he's already hired and tasking them to do the things that they're doing. We can't even get him to tell us publicly what he's doing. That, to me, should be a focus of concern. So, members, I think that, in my view, it is necessary to have this provision so that we can get a transparent evaluation of what exists today in the marketplace and make sure that people understand. And we think that in conjunction with the other provisions in this bill, it will allow us to move forward with a market-driven approach to solve many of the problems that we all agree that we face. And so, with all respect, Mr. Chairman and members, I hope that you'll view favorably this bill and this recommendation and that it can move forward.
Shortly, Ms. Braze.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, and committee members, the one thing that I would say is, indeed, the governor has moved forward with an executive order to design and develop. It is not to implement. He knows he has no authority to implement. He is trying very, very difficult to get anything he could hang his hat on to implement this. There is
Mr. Chair, I object to this. Is off.
Senator Wigger.
We're way off topic.
Okay.
And
excuse
you
me.
Set some parameters initially. And
that's correct. And I was just getting to that. When I heard the statement, Senator Wigger, I was going to stop her, but you were beat me to the punch. I think we understand where you're coming from, Ms. Brace. Thank you for your testimony. Let's move on to the next lady, please. Please
Hello,
state your name.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Liz Doyle. I'm with Take Action Minnesota. We're a statewide organization working to expand access to health care coverage in our state. Thank you very much for the opportunity to briefly testify. Senator Han has heard some of our concerns about this legislation already when it went through its previous committee. I'd want to prolong a conversation about the connections between this and the federal health care law, but I would agree with the previous testifier's statements that a couple of core pieces of this legislation, the creation of individual accounts with a capacity to draw down federal tax credits that are going to be available under the federal health care law, and the creation of a website that is in created in order to provide an opportunity for consumers to make comparisons between health plans. Those are two pretty linchpin pieces of the federal health care law, both of which are a part of this legislation as well. And so we feel we kind of have a responsibility to look at this as a health insurance exchange legislation and to take into consideration the framework it creates compared to the other health exchange proposals that are moving this session. I think to the point of the website that's being created, which is the jurisdiction of this committee, I realize the concern that we have about that particular part of this legislation. It is a centerpiece of the federal health care law. We see it as something that has incredible potential to increase value, provide greater transparency, ensure that consumers have a good quality set of health care options available to the health to them in the health insurance exchange. And part of that, in our minds, is also ensuring that there's adequate consumer representation on the body that creates the website. And our concern about this part of the legislation is the fact that that is the proposal of the composition of this task force is not balanced in that way. It does not give representation to consumers. It does not give representation to individuals who are connected to the public health care programs. And a significant number of the people who are going to be on the health insurance exchange will be eligible for public health care programs. So we feel like this actually kind of further silos the private and public health care systems. The intent of the federal health care law is to coordinate them better. We would like to see much more significant consumer representation on this board as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And first and foremost, have you found a point in this bill where there's a creation of a website? Because I've had staff go through it. I don't see where it specifically states that there will be a website created. And I might be missing it. Senator Hand, can you answer that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, and as Ms. Doyle mentioned, she testified in the Commerce Committee, and I'll make the same comment here that I made there. I don't know what bill she is testifying to, but it isn't this one. There's nothing in this bill that creates a website. There's nothing in this bill that creates an exchange, however one may define it, which I'm not sure how it is being defined. There's nothing in this bill that is creating any kind of mechanisms to do anything except change the law as it relates to insurance to allow for contributions to be pooled in a trust account, and the law specifies the mechanisms by which that trust is going to be administered on behalf of an individual under the control and direction of an individual. And those pooled contributions are going to be taken by at the direction of an individual to purchase insurance. That's what this bill does. The part that is in the purview of this committee with respect to the task force is not a body that is going to be empowered to create anything. Correct. It's not going to be empowered to even make recommendations to create anything. It's simply asked to review what is in the marketplace today and come back at some point in 2013 to the legislature and say, here's what we found, and here's our opinions as private individuals, non-government, non-paid, of what might be done. And oh, by the way, if they think of anything that state government could do, maybe they will recommend it. And perhaps they'll come back and say, there's some other laws over here that maybe you ought to get rid of, or maybe you ought to change to enhance the ability for insurance to be bought. Maybe they'll say we ought to recommend that we should have a broader insurance market. Maybe we need to reduce some of the mandates that are already in it. I don't know. But the point is, there's nothing in this bill that would result in the objections that Ms. Doyle has raised. There's nothing here that creates a website.
Thank you. Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if this is off target, I will withdraw it because I'm not. Senator Hand, you talked about what the governor is doing moving forward, and I just made a note. Is it your assessment that the governor is moving forward, and if we fail to act in some way, he will assume he has the right to act as a result of the legislative branch's failure to act? Am I assessing that right? Is that related to this?
Mr. Senator Chairman and Senator Gazelka, I certainly am in no position to speak for the governor or his intentions, and I don't want to do that. I think it is imperative for us as a legislature to confront the issues that the people of the state of Minnesota have, and access to affordable, portable health insurance is one of them, and that is the heart of what this bill does. I think that it's certainly possible, and I believe that it's likely that if the federal law does not get changed, and if the governor proceeds in the stated direction that he's publicly indicated, that that he will, under the authority of the federal government, create some mechanism to deal with the federal law. This bill has nothing to do with those issues.
Thank you.
It is
Thank
not
you.
At
Senator,
all directed
Senator Hayden.
You know, Mr. Chair, I hear Senator Hand kind of, you know, point for point say that he doesn't think and he doesn't tie this to the Affordable Care Act. I, you know, have never agreed. Well, I should say never, but I typically don't agree with Ms. Braze on a lot of her testimony. We typically don't see things the same way. So I find it somewhat ironic that we're on the same side of this this particular part. But what I will get to, I'll get to the point, Mr. Chair, is I think Senator Hand, everything else aside, what is throwing maybe us off and maybe what is throwing others off is in Section 6, it says Health Insurance Marketplace Website Task Force. I mean, that's just what it says. And so, Mr. Chair and Senator Hand, I think that fundamentally, and you kind of try to go through the words and our great staff are trying to figure it out, but what you're kind of describing as a task force to look at healthcare options in the state and come back and kind of give us a report on what that looks like and potentially recommendations, but not mandated. But the problem is that in your header, it says Health Insurance Marketplace Website Task Force. And so I think that is why we're questioning kind of maybe the intent in trying to figure out what is really going on here, because it continues to refer to a website. And as both pro and con to the Affordable Care Act has said, that the linchpin, if you will, of the Affordable Care Act is an exchange mechanism that most people think will be implemented through a website. And so I think that just that is maybe what the problem is. And I say that, you know, Senator Hand, maybe to be helpful as to why we're continuing to go down this road with you.
All right. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I apparently, I guess there people want to read into this bill something that isn't there. But I take Senator Hayden's point that he's looking at a word and saying, well, this is what it means to him that may be meaning something different to somebody else. And so I would just propose as an oral amendment, Mr. Chairman and members, that on lines 4.17, 4.18, and 4.20, where you see that name of this task force, which is all it is, just a name, there's nothing in the duties, if you'll note on the duties section, anything about that. But if it's in the name, that we strike the words marketplace website and replace it with internet access. If that will help, I'd be happy to offer that amendment. I'm just confused about the, you know, trying to. We often have to design names for things, and all we're trying to get at is we want this task force to go out and look what's available on the internet, with a view of looking at what is already available to access insurance. And if this is a better title, I'm happy to change it so there'll be maybe less confusion.
Senator Hayden.
So to that point, it reminds me of the old song, you say tomato, and I
say
tomato.
Tomato.
Right, either, neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing on Senator Hand. But let me say this. I'm sorry. It's the end of the week, and I should have had breakfast. I still say that, Senator Hand, that means kind of the same thing. And just following your logic, what I can't figure out is that we live in the 21st century, it's 2012, we all got them sitting around, that typically any task force that we, our committee, our council, that's going to go out and look at recommendations is typically not going to go to the public library and ask the librarian to pull out the encyclopedia, right? They're going to go to the internet and as one of the tools that they find information from. And so your insistence in putting in website or internet access, and not, I thought you were going to go to just strike website and say Health Insurance Marketplace Task Force, which then they can go out and get the information any way that they want. But your insistence on having something about website or internet access now starts to really pique my curiosity about what's really going on here. And so I just wonder if maybe, you know, and I don't know procedurally what we should do, if we should just not make the motion to strike website from the lines that are appropriate and just make it Health Insurance Marketplace Task Force.
And Senator, I'm going to let Senator Olson jump in here.
Well,
Senator Olson.
Mr.
The
Chairman,
school teacher that you are,
well,
you
Mr.
can help
Chairman,
us.
Well, Mr. Chairman, My suggestion, I thought we were going to go that route, was the same as Senator Hayden's. If you just took the website out of there, that's what people zero in. And if you look at the duties, you are asking them to identify the existing tools, the internet-based tools, and what their utility is in aiding individuals and possibly develop recommendations. It's still the health insurance marketplace, and I would leave marketplace in but take website out. But
Senator
Chairman,
Hand,
Mr.
It's
Chairman,
a red flag.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson and Senator Hayden, I certainly am willing to defer to a better choice of title of this body, and would be happy to strike website from lines 4.17, 4.18, 4.20. And I think Senator Olson is correct. Whatever you call the committee that is going to look at this thing, the duties are clear. And there's nothing in those duties that creates anything or is empowered to create anything.
All right.
So I would still move
Senator Olson moves that... Senator Olson would move the removal of the word website from 4.17, line 4.18, line 4.20. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails.
And Mr. Chairman, I do have two amendments, more of a technical nature, that have been brought that I would ask that do pertain to this section and would ask your consideration. I apologize. One of them may not relate directly to the section that you're referring to here. And if you are willing, I can offer them in order, the A3 amendment being one.
We would. Senator Daley will offer the A3 amendment. To the A3 amendment, Senator Hamm.
And, Mr. Chairman, I apologize because this really is not in the jurisdiction of your committee. However, there is a term on page line 4.2 that says public funds. And because there were questions about the exact meaning of that as provided in the section that we're referring to, which has to do with how the contributions that were passed last year in law, the defined contributions to pay health insurance premiums, there is clarifying language in the A3 amendment that strikes public funds and replaces it with the language that you see. Simply clarification to make it very clear that what we're referring to are those dollars under the Healthy Minnesota Contribution Act.
On the
Mr. Chair.
Senator Wigger.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, it seems innocuous. Is there any controversy?
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wigger, I think it's fair to say there's some controversy over the bill itself. I don't know that there's any with this particular language.
All right. On the A3 amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails.
Mr. Chairman, finally, the A4 amendment, which was suggested by Ms. James, I believe, and counsel, that is simply a apparently in the course of creating a working group, you have to have somebody convene the meeting. And, so
Senator Daley will move the A4 amendment.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
So you're leaving in, the Speaker of the House shall designate one of the legislative appointees to convene a working group. Oh, okay. And then the working group shall designate one of the task force members to convene the initial meeting of the task force.
That's correct.
All right.
That's correct.
Got it.
All in favor of the A4 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Now, Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate File 2313 be recommended to pass.
As amended.
As amended. Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
Amendment does prevail.
Yep.
Or the bill, excuse me, Senate File 2313 as amended does prevail and pass.
And Mr. Chairman, I assume that was sent to the floor.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you very much. Second item on the agenda is Senate File 2478, Senator Gazelka, State Government Advisory Inspections Process Establishment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair, if I may, if it's the right time, I'd like to offer a oral amendment to the bill.
And the amendment is?
On line 1.7, must conduct an advisory inspection. After inspection, insert the words, no more than once a year.
Ms. James, how do you read that now?
Mr. Chair, members, the insertion of that phrase, no more than once a year, before the words upon request of a person, suggests that a person may only request once a year for the inspection.
Is that your intent, Senator Gazelka?
Mr. Chair, yes, that actually came from the House, but, yeah, we don't want to have more than one of these a year required.
All right. On the author's oral amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Now, to Senate File 2478, Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This came from the House, but I have had conversation with the MPCA. I don't want to butcher his name, but I think it's Kadelka. Is that how you say his name? I'm sorry. It sounds like Gazelka. It should be easy to me. But this really came from an idea related to something I think Governor Dayton also supports, and that is that we find a way for business and state and local governments to find a way to be more like partners. The center of this bill really is, if we start on line 1.8, this first sentence, first beginning sentence, if an advisory inspection results in the findings that potentially could make a person subject to a fine or other penalty imposed by the agency must notify the person in writing of those findings within 10 days of the inspection. If within 60 days of receiving notice, the person notifies the agency that it has corrected the situation that made the person potentially subject to the fine or penalty, and the agency later determines the situation is corrected, the agency may not impose a fine or a penalty as a result of the findings in the advisory inspection. So the idea is that if there's an inspection that's asked, they find something, the business fixes that there's not going to be a penalty. And like I said, if I'm pronouncing his name right, Mr. Kadelka was here at the beginning. He said, I'm not going to testify. I am willing to work with you. This is similar to something they're already doing. I believe it's called Green something, guys. Sorry. Another program that they're already working on, and so they're trying to think of maybe we can put the two together, but they are not in opposition to this bill.
Well, a couple of things, Senator Gazelka, that I have questions on. I'm a little nervous on the fact that it's an open-ended where it says a state agency has authority to impose a fine or penalty. Are you a little nervous when there's no guy, you know, where there's no specifics? How much is the fine? What kind of penalty? And then when we go down farther, you know, it talks about civil or administrative fines. Have you thought about this? Can you help me out with this here?
Mr. Chairman? Can I help Mr. Gazelka out? Or Senator Gazelka? It seems to me these are agencies that already have the authority to do this.
That's correct.
That they do inspections and can administer fines. And this is saying that in the case of this, that they must conduct an advisory one. In other words, before you slap the fine on, have an advisory consultation, and they can't be subject to fine for that. They're given advice and time to correct it. But it's so it could apply to a state agency. I think it could apply to more than one agency that has this power already given to them by the legislature, is how I read that.
Mr. Chair, that's exactly
Senator
correct. They already fine. This is a way to avoid some of the fines, become a little more business friendly, and allow that business to make the changes without fining them.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 2478 be recommended to pass and move to general orders.
As amended.
As amended. Thank you, sir.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Senate File 2478, as amended, has passed and will be sent to the floor. Next item on the agenda, we are going to move down to what was the fifth, now becomes the third, is Senate File 1426, Senator Jungbauer. Medical Laboratory Science Professionals Licensure Requirements, Medical Laboratory Science Professional Licensing Advisory Council Creation and Appropriation. Members, this bill came to us from the Committee on Health and Human Services. That is also where the bill will be sent back to because it has a fiscal note. Senator Jungbauer, I believe you have an amendment to start with.
That is correct, Mr. Chair. I have the A1 amendment.
Senator Daley will move that A1 amendment to the amendment.
The A2. Oh, you got the A2 as well. Yeah. We have actually a couple amendments, Mr. Chair. The A1 amendment, if I could speak to it while it's being handed out.
Please do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A1 amendment actually deletes sections of the bill that would require this bill to have to go through judiciary. And as it has to go back to health and human, we're trying to cut down on some of the trips, so we're stripping out anything that would have to go to judiciary.
All right. All right. To that A2 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Now, back to the bill, or do you have another amendment, Senator Dunbar?
A2 amendment as well, Mr. Chair.
Which one is that?
It is a kind of cleans up some language on the advisory council. We would have to insert some talks about the convening dates and how many years members would serve.
All right. Senator Daley moves the A2 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Any further amendments, Senator Jungbauer?
Mr. Chair and members, no, I have no further amendments.
Then let's move forward to hearing a little bit about, first from Ms. James, about where our jurisdiction lies in this bill.
Mr. Chair and members, in Section 6, which starts on page 9, line 13, a council is established, and it goes through page 10, line 14.
I think you were here when I brought this up before, Senator Jungbauer. I am not at all interested in growing bureaucracy.
Yes.
Because this, I didn't see on the Second Amendment, I probably should have asked, is there an end date or a sunset on this?
Mr. Chair, members, currently there is no sunset. We would be happy with the sunset if I could give an explanation of the council.
Sure.
So that you understand. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The reason a bill like this needs an advisory council and everything that goes through health that's similar to this has advisory councils. These are highly technical issues where if we were to actually bring in paid staff to understand it and set forth standards, it would have an extremely high fiscal note. That's why these advisory councils of experts in the field are created to come together and create a uniform standard for these kinds of licensures. And so we can create this in probably, I don't know, three years maybe? I think we could sunset in
2 to 3 years.
We could create those standards and likely not have to reconstitute that advisory council unless and until the field changes enough that we would need to bring in more experts to clarify things. So I, like you, Mr. Chair, do not like advisory councils. I also will be clear that I don't like licensure unless I believe the state has a vested interest, and I believe it does, and we've explained that in Health and Human in terms of the kind of things that go on in medical laboratories, the testing, and what consumers expect in terms of a standardized education for folks that are doing this kind of testing.
All right, thank you. And I appreciate that, Senator Jungbauer, because when I read through this, And I don't know. You know, we have so many boards in this state. I don't know. Somebody said between advisory boards and commissions, 1,600. I think you and I had that discussion. There's a lot.
There's a lot.
And so I would be inclined as we move forward, we'll probably be looking at a sunset 2 years out. And in that two-year period of time, I think we need to not only accomplish what you're looking at doing, but at the same time find if, in fact, this would fall under something that's already established. And I think that's so very important as we move forward. Any discussion on the bill, Senator Olson?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And there's so many different titles here. I thought I'd encountered just about every kind of medical specialist when I've been going through some of the health challenges that I have this past year. But are these the lab techs that are in our hospitals and are working in our clinics that have special training? Now we're going to create a special license for them?
Senator Jungbaum.
Even though they have been hired, and obviously hospitals and others would have liability for if they are inappropriately handing materials and stuff. Or is this, if they're sent out to some other labs, is it the step beyond the local place where they are drawing blood or whatever they're doing?
Senator Jungbauer.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, it is a lab tech that typically would work at hospitals doing those kind of tests you're talking about, whether you're testing for cancer or other things. And what we're trying to create here is a standard and title, so you know that if a certain test goes to a certain person, that everybody that does that kind of test would have the same kind of educational backgrounds. And it's kind of interesting when you think about the licenses that we do have in Minnesota. So I think, as Senator Perry does, that much of the testimony we've had on licensure on different things this year, I would think we should be able to eliminate most licenses. So in health, I kind of compared it to my backyard septic license, which cost me anywhere from $200 to $400 a year, depending on if I want to keep all my designations. This one, I believe we had at $115 per biennium, so it's a small fee. And difference in other licenses is we actually accept on-the-job training instead of having to go out in the government creating its own new coursework that you would need to keep up those licenses in terms of continuing ed. So we've got a lot of different things incorporated into this licensure that makes it easier and doesn't create other outside bureaucracies. But indeed, these are the people that do those kind of tests, whether it is at the hospital or outside if it's the same exact testing.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the hospitals and clinics want this, and the lab techs want this.
Senator Jungbauer.
This is brought to us by the labs, and there are some labs that we've been talking to that still have some consternation or heartburn on the bill, and I believe that it's really in some things that they're not understanding because it grandfathers people in. But again, we're looking for consistencies in those sorts of designations.
Is there anyone here to testify in opposition to the bill? Any further discussion? Senator Daley?
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate File 1426 as amended pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Health and Human Services.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion does prevail.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Next item on the agenda is Senate File 1679, yep. Senator Hall, American Indian Advisory Council, Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse Citizens Advisory Council, Traumatic Brain Injury Program Advisory Committee, and American Indian Child Welfare Advisory Council, expiration dates extension. Members, this bill was referred to us from the Committee on Health and Human Services. Welcome, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I think you pretty well explained what the bill is all about. We're trying to move forward with this, and I have with me here Tom Reuter, who will explain any of the details if you so wish.
I guess what I would like to know is why do you believe that this should be extended by 2 years to 2014?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Thomas Reuter, and I'm the manager of legislative and stakeholder relations with the Chemical and Mental Health Administration at the Department of Human Services. This bill extends the four advisory councils to 2014, in accordance with Section 3D.21, which is the reference to the Sunset Commission. The Sunset Commission will be reviewing the Department of Human Services in 2014. So this brings that date in alignment with the date that's in the Sunset Commission statute. In addition, the four advisory councils are needed one of the reasons that the date is in statute is for the legislature to review these advisory councils on a regular basis and determine whether or not they are necessary. The department believes that the four advisory councils are needed for a variety of reasons, including, and most importantly, I believe, for citizen participation in the process, as services are designed guiding the expenditure of funds and identifying the needs that are required. Such things as the American Indian Advisory Council and the Citizens Advisory Council a few years ago did a review of the treatment services that are needed for persons who have an addiction to methamphetamine and identified new ways that we could provide treatment to those individuals.
Are all four of these councils in existence today?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Is there a fiscal note, Senator Hall?
No.
Senator Gazelka.
Well, Mr. Chair, if there's no further discussion, I move that Senate File 1679 be recommended to pass.
All right, no further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senate File 1679 is passed and will be sent to the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Third item on the agenda is Senate File 2348, Senator Daley. State agencies, budget preparation requirement modifications, statewide outcomes, commission establishment. I believe you have an author's amendment, Senator Daley.
I do, Mr. Chairman. That would be the A4 amendment.
On the A4 amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. To the bill as amended, Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, members, I bring to you a bipartisan effort to update our budget system. Today, we budget by fund, by department, by agency, by program or activity, and by character or object of expenditure. These categories tell us who spends the money and what they spend the money on. However, they do not tell us the result or outcome that our tax dollars are intended to produce. With this measure, we will include in our budget dialogue each biennium the results, the outcomes we expect from our state government. Mr. Chairman, I know we share a desire to decrease the size and scope of government, so with that in mind, please know that this commission is very limited in scope and the duration is just a few months. They determine the list of the outcomes and then the commission expires. There are a couple of testifiers here, Mr. Chairman, and with that, I conclude my opening remarks.
All right. Whoever wants to go through first, please state your name and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Tom Hesse. I'm with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. Let me begin just by giving you an idea how this bill originated. There's several groups that are participating in some redesign efforts around the state. A subset of that group, including Peter Nelson here from the Center for the American Experiment, Dane Smith from Growth and Justice, and Peter Hutchinson and myself, decided to put pen to paper and draft this legislation. And really the goal is pretty simple, as was stated previously. It's to implement an outcome-based budgeting process. We view this as an opportunity as the Minnesota Management and Budget implements their new budget system to improve the current deliverables that the legislature and the public will see. And maybe it would kind of look, or the way to look at this bill is in reverse of the order of in the legislation itself, is the first look at the commission. Again, as Senator Daley stated, this commission would be very short-lived. It's really designed to have a bipartisan look at what are the overall core outcomes that citizens expect from government. So determine those 8 to 10 core level outcomes that that citizens expect. You know, an educated workforce, for example, could be one. Underneath those core outcomes, try to identify 3 to 5 contributory outcomes so we can drill down a little bit deeper and figure out what within that sort of educated workforce, what's important. It might be graduation rates. It might be achievement gap and some of those items. And then finally, figure out how we can measure and determine if we're meeting those goals. So the commission would be established to determine the outcomes and the core outcomes and contributory outcomes. And once they're determined, the commission would sunset. Minnesota Management and Budget would then instruct agencies to link each program activity appropriation to a core level outcome so that we can track, okay, how, you know, what is this program designed to achieve? What's the primary objective of programs, activities, and appropriations? Eventually, we would like to get that down so we can track it by those 3 to 5 contributory outcomes as well. But the first step is just to look at those 8 to 10 core statewide outcomes. And here again, the reason why we're trying to do this is, you know, again, looking at the educated workforce as an example, there are programs within the Department of Education, Higher Education, DEED, Human Services, Corrections, and maybe a few other agencies that are designed to improve the state's workforce. And we ought to look at those maybe holistically and figure out if they're achieving their intended results. And with that, I'll turn it over to Peter Nelson for some further testimony. Thank you.
Please state your name again for the record, Mr. Nelson.
My name is Peter Nelson, and I'm the Director of Public Policy for Center of the American Experiment. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm here to support this bill. Making budget decisions these days is tough, and it's only getting tougher. And we all know the demographics that are coming at us right now that are making these decisions tougher. And so the need to actually budget and focus our limited resources so they're used to their greatest benefit is more important today than at any time in recent memory. And we believe that this budget process, adding this to the budget process, is a way to move us towards thinking more, getting us more information to know that we're using our resources to their best and highest use. And, you know, I come to this issue from my healthcare policy background. I focus mostly on healthcare policy, which is why I was here earlier in the committee. And it's my healthcare policy background that demonstrated to me that we don't measure how our healthcare programs are truly working or not working. And it's very hard as a healthcare policy analyst to tell the legislature and to tell the public whether something's not working because we just don't have the data we need. And we don't. And so this is an attempt to start looking in a very intentional way at how well we're doing. And this is, we would like to see a much broader a change to our budget process. This is a first step to changing our budget process, to just start defining the outcomes and start putting a measurement to the outcomes. And that's the first step. And this is, you know, if this is the only step, it's still a great step to give us some more information. And to the task force or the commission that this creates, the commission is an important tool here because we could just have the governor's office set up the outcomes. But if we just have the governor's office set up the outcomes, the agencies are going to be defining for themselves what their goals are. And we don't believe that that's necessarily the best way to establish the goals. And it would be very difficult to maybe legislate this, especially in the near future, to legislate what these outcomes are specifically. And so we believe this commission is really the best way to move forward to bring the executive branch and the legislature together to establish the core outcomes and the contributing outcomes. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Please state your name and you may proceed.
Chairman Perry, members of the committee, I'm Dane Smith. I'm president of Growth and Justice. We're a policy research organization focused on stimulating both business growth and economic justice and expanding prosperity in Minnesota. We favor ample but ever smarter public investments in human capital and physical infrastructure that make our communities profitable and broadly prosperous. We think our state and local governments generally are good and effective, that they deliver vital economic foundation for our communities, but we also think they have to get better and more effective. And in our Governing with Accountability report a couple of years ago, we identified six crucial principles for accountability. Very high on that list was to set long-term goals and priorities. We cited efforts at that time by Senator Senjum and Senator Jeff Michelle and legislators on both sides of the aisle who were moving in this direction, setting goals. And among their efforts then was a proposed revival of the Minnesota Milestones model, which sets and tracks goals and progress towards consensus outcomes. This bill, which we support, imposes new budget process requirements for describing specific objectives and documenting evidence of progress towards those outcomes. It's simple, and yet it could become a really powerful lever for redesign and improvement of our public systems. I will pass over the next part of my prepared testimony because Peter touched on it. Today we budget by account and by fund, by department or agency. This adds a new, vitally important dimension of outcomes. The legislation, again, is crucial because we are going to be facing tough choices for years to come. Budget tools need to be sharper, and we need to set these goals for our varied and complex taxpayer investments. We already have a good foundation on which to build. I think the consensus is already on its way. The task force will have the Minnesota milestones to work from. These were goals that were set years ago. And we have the experience of other states to guide us too, including Washington, Iowa, Michigan, and Virginia. Minnesota has some of the best expertise in the country on budgeting for outcomes. State-of-the-art work on this has been done by the private private organization called the Public Strategies Group. Peter Hutchinson has been a principal in that and has helped guide this legislation. And so governmental jurisdictions from Nevada to New Zealand are beginning to adopt this new strategy of outcome-based budgeting, organize their work around in this way, and we need Minnesota to be at the forefront of this tradition of good, effective, and innovative government. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I suppose Commissioner Showalter would be upset if I didn't let one of his team leaders come up and testify as well, so I don't want to give him a headache for the weekend. So,
appreciate it.
Please state your name.
Thank you. My name is Britta Rayton, and I'm a team leader at MMB. MMB does not have an official position on this bill, but we do share the goal of aligning budget activities with outcomes. As we design our new system, we are building it in a way that it can accommodate this. We have been working with the author and with the other parties working on the legislation on some implementation issues. We do still have a couple of concerns, and primary among them is just the timeline. The commission's work is due by August 1, and then we need to have turned around from agencies by October 15th their work on how their activities would align with the outcomes. And we do have some concerns that this is a new organizational structure and that we may not be able to do work as meaningful as we would like to do between August and October. So that is one of our concerns, is just the brief timeline for accommodating this change. And then lastly, we do think it's important to have a consensus around the goals, and we would just make the recommendation that the commission have equal members from the executive branch and the legislative branch, because we do think that consensus around the goals is important.
All right, thank you very much. Ms. James has something that needs to be adjusted, Senator Daley, so we'll listen to her.
Mr. Chair and members online, this is on the amendment on the A4, on line 2.21, delete administration and insert management and budget to identify the proper department.
Senator Daley, would you like to make that amendment as your amendment?
I will move that.
All right. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Further discussion on the bill? Hearing none?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Wigger.
Great job putting it together. And I don't have an amendment, but you know, we should do this too for the legislative branch. And I'll leave it at that, and we can talk later about that.
All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move that Senate file 2348, as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
On the daily amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Senate file 2348 is passed and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, you said amendment. Could we, for the record, make sure that it's stated in the bill?
That's right. As amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
There being no further things before this committee, we are hereby adjourned.